From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. At the end of last year, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the body that regulates Alaska's lucrative federal fisheries, downsized a key advisory panel that gives input on management. As KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, the reorganization eliminated the seats of two community representatives, one of whom, supporters say, had been an effective advocate for Alaska natives and smaller vessels in the industry.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council often flies under the radar, meeting in dimly lit conference rooms and delving into technical questions about fish stocks and ecosystems. But it has a hugely important job: conservation of species and managing offshore fisheries for species like cod, pollock, and crab, which are huge economic drivers for coastal communities on the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska. At the end of last year, the council went into a closed-door meeting. When it emerged, it had eliminated two seats on a key advisory panel, one of which was held by Alaska Native member Natasha Hayden of Kodiak, who was seeking reappointment. That decision to eliminate Hayden from the panel upset many stakeholders, especially those advocating for Indigenous voices in fisheries management.
This is a time when we should be adding more Indigenous voices to council bodies and not less.
That's St. Paul Island attorney Marissa Merkuliev testifying 2 months later to the full council. She works for the St. Paul Island tribal government, which runs affairs for the small Pribilof Island community in the Bering Sea. St. Paul's tribal government representatives, like Conservation Director Lauren Devine, say they lost a key ally with Hayden's departure.
And it was a huge loss for Indigenous communities, Indigenous voices in the council process, and that's why there was so much outrage at a time when, you know, we really were hoping that the council would hop onto the racial equity movement.
She says Native communities already are underrepresented in fisheries management, and that's a problem because the health and management of fish stocks are a big deal for communities that rely on commercial fishing and subsistence. Hayden was born and raised in Kodiak. She's from an Indigenous Aleutic family and the daughter of a commercial fisherman. Now, she and her husband own a commercial fishing boat. As vice president of lands and natural resources of the Afognak Native Corporation, she told KUCB she was well qualified.
We are, you know, actively participating in federal fisheries. I'm a civil engineer. I'm elected tribal member. Like, what else do you have to do to be considered worthy to participate in the process?
The blowback of her ouster was intense. In February, the Fishery Management Council received more than 20 letters calling for her reappointment. Alaska Marine Conservation Council's Teresa Peterson was among them.
I'm just kind of reminded of that saying, it's never too late to do the right thing.
Longtime observers say it's not unusual for the council to adjust the number of seats on its advisory panel, and the council generally makes these types of decisions over appointments behind closed doors. But Heather McCarty, who works government affairs for a Bering Sea fisherman's nonprofit, says the council's removal of Hayden didn't add up.
Normally, unless people have been sort of obviously incompetent or inappropriate or absent or whatever, normally those reappointments are without issue. There's no reason to remove somebody. They wanted to have another 3 years.
She wouldn't speculate why the council eliminated Hayden's seat, but she says it owes the public some explanation. That hasn't happened. KUCB reached out to all Alaska-based voting council members, as well as state fish and game officials who oversee Alaska's representatives. None would speak publicly about Hayden's removal, and neither would the council's full-time executive director. That silence and gaps in understanding leave others to fill the void with speculation. Critics say that some of the big corporate players in Alaska's federal fisheries can often drown out the perspectives of smaller members of the fleet. Advisory panel member Julie Kavanaugh, also of Kodiak, says Hayden was a well-balanced representative. She had been an effective advocate for Alaska Natives as well as smaller fishing boats, those less than 60 feet. But Kavanaugh also noted that there were several other small boat operators on the panel.
Natasha was one of four people that own and or operate a vessel that is in that 60-foot and under class. And I think that that was a really easy thing to pick out and highlight as being repetitive on the AP and gave credence to maybe not reappointing her.
Brian Ritchie of Homer, a newcomer to the panel, says he doesn't think her removal had to do with race or politics. There are still 11 Alaskans on the 20-member panel, which oversees species that also make up parts of Oregon and Washington fisheries.
I don't think that this is an instance of systemic racism. I think that fisheries in Alaska are very nuanced, and I don't think that the council has currently or in the future, any plans to limit Indigenous representation or opportunities.
The council itself, unlike at least one other management council outside of Alaska, doesn't have a designated tribal seat. But it has recently begun outreach efforts to improve communication with rural and Alaska Native populations. But because sitting council members refused to say why they eliminated Hayden's seat, she says she can't give them the benefit of the doubt.
If they truly wanted to have equitable participation by Alaska Native people, they wouldn't have eliminated me.
The newly constituted advisory panel held its first meeting in February and met again this month. And while at least two Alaska Natives remain on the 20-member advisory panel, none represent tribal governments, Native nonprofits, or village cooperatives. In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com. Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
I had a chance to talk to former AP member Natasha Hayden on the telephone.
I was heartbroken. I mean, I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it took me a couple of weeks to be able to even talk about it. And it was after other people that started to express their outrage and were willing to go out on a limb on my behalf to put it on the record that they thought that it was a mistake and that the council should have reversed their decision is when I was able to start to feel like that I didn't deserve to be eliminated. When you're cut off the team, you know, you wonder why, if it was because your performance or because you weren't good enough or engaged enough or the right person for the job, and all of those individuals and organizations that advocated on my behalf really helped me just work through those feelings.
I asked Natasha why she thought she was not reappointed and her seat eliminated.
It's because my advocacy could potentially be detrimental to the economic bottom line of very high value fisheries that are privatized. Yeah, advocating for community-based fishery access is contrary to individual ownership of fishing rights and large corporate interests as well.
Of course, that's just speculation, but that's all we have. As one council member put it, quote, "The council makes all personnel and business/administrative decisions in executive session. In executive session, we are bound by confidentiality," unquote. Executive sessions are commonly used by governing bodies that otherwise operate in a publicly transparent manner. This is so the body can discuss matters that could be sensitive without the details becoming public. Although there is no prohibition on the council's ability to issue clarifying statements that might detail upcoming challenges that might have prompted this particular shakeup in the AP's composition, they are certainly not required to provide one. But one might assume the changes are in anticipation of work the council has to do in the near future. As the council's AP handbook describes it, quote, "It is expected that as the issues and concerns of the council change and evolve, so too will the profile of the membership of the AP," unquote. One issue concerning the council right now is another big catch share program, trawl caught Bering Sea Aleutian Islands Pacific Cod. So, when the council decided to shrink the number of seats on the AP, it's not surprising that the two recently added trawl industry seats were not on the chopping block. But it might be telling that the two seats eliminated were considered by many to be community representatives. Past catch share programs have not necessarily been kind to communities, resulting in absentee ownership of the resource, capital flight in the form of lease fees, and a high entry-level buy-in. Again, from the AP handbook. "Because of the diverse membership of the advisory panel, council members can feel confident that any potential concern that may be felt by a sector or interest group will be highlighted through the AP discussion and report," unquote. Indeed.
Let's go! Let's go!
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Let's go!
For the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Wow! Thanks this week to KUCB's Maggie Nelson and Nastasha Hayden. Good fishing, everyone.